the assumptions of the AI chipset, software, and services that are not available to everyone in the world. And what I call it, this guy, a digital divide between those who have and who don't have. This is one area of the threat.
Welcome to Impact Investing TV.
Together, we will go on a global adventure, discovering the power of impact investing.
You will meet inspiring humans who are shaping a sustainable world for current and future generations.
There's no limit to the positive changes when we come together.
Let the journey begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of season 7.
To all of those who are joining for the first time, this theme is Impact Investing Worldwide, uniting for a sustainable future.
One fact is known by everyone is that we cannot be successful with mitigating climate change without also working at social equality.
But indeed, these two are very deeply interlinked. One of the strongest pillars to achieve this is using technology.
So true, Ben. Everyone is talking about AI, but few talk of the role which technology has to play in the transformation towards sustainability.
And we live in the world of technology. For example, I cannot even think of life without iPhones. But it seems we only talk about technology when we are talking about something destructive, like military use or warfare.
Now, by the way, I would love to live without iPhone. So today, we invited two amazing persons who are working at the use of technology, which is answering to two United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Goal number 9, industry innovation, and goal number 10, reduce inequalities. And today, we're going to craft the next era of AI. With this, I'd like to welcome Dr. Li Shan and Dr. Pat Chen. Are you here with us, guys?
Yes, we are here.
So, Pat and Shan, where are you based at this moment?
I'm based in Beijing right now.
Okay. And Pat, yourself?
I'm in Hong Kong right now.
Okay.
Fantastic. Let me briefly introduce you to our audience before we start towards this amazing, inspiring topic. I think so many people want to hear more about it, impact and artificial intelligence. So let's start with you, Dr. Li Shan. You are a regular member of the United Nations Investment Committee, chairman and CEO of 3TU Technologies, board member of Silk Road Finance Corporation. You have also long-term experience in the financial sector and banking, working for such institutions as China Development Bank, also served as vice chairman of UBS Investment Bank in Asia, and being CEO of Bank of China International Holdings. Well, a lot of other well-known banks, but we don't have so much time.
He has also been on the board of Credit Suisse and UBS, but maybe we should not talk about it now.
Right. So, but you're also in government and academia. Now, I'd like also to introduce you, Pat Chen. You are the founder, CEO, and chairman of Borgs Technology. You're also the chief operating advisor of 3TU Technologies. And interesting is to know that you founded Borgs in 2007 and successfully brought it to NASDAQ in August 2017. For those who don't know, what is Borgs? It's actually a global leader in embedded software and products for the Internet of Things. Right, and you also have 20 years of experience in telecom and mobile industry.
So both are highly technical persons.
Yeah, right. So today, guys, please keep it simple so our dear audience can understand you completely.
So Dr. Shan Li, could you introduce yourself briefly and tell our audience about your company, the 3TU Technologies?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a professional banker, but by training, I'm also a technology student. Actually, I studied the Geographic Information Systems PhD program at MIT. I actually helped the U.S. government in both the city of Boston and Massachusetts Commonwealth to develop its city planning information system. So I also was one of the pioneers in China's internet industry. Back to 1998, I created one of the first internet company in China. Later on, it was listed on New York Stock Exchange with a market cap of about $10 billion. So 3.2 is my second technology venture. Actually, the journey started almost 10 years ago. When I saw Nokia, after it's been sold to Microsoft, Microsoft abandoned Nokia's operating system, the Mico system.
Mm-hmm.
The Nokia engineers create a new company based on the open source Mico system to create a company called Eula, create a new operating system called the Selfish OS. I saw this is an opportunity to develop alternative operating system to Android. So I invested in that company almost 10 years ago, and I grow together with that company. Now we are in a new era, of AI. Because big ChatGPT, all this kind of thing, the operating system can no longer just be deployed on the device, on phone, on pad. It should be integrated, the cloud, the edge, and the device. So the 3.2 was created to develop a next generation of operating system, which can integrate the operation of cloud, edge, and device. Therefore, we can mobilize the best AI technology and make it accessible to ordinary people. That's what we are doing now.
That's fantastic. Now to you, Pat. Would you shed some light on your story and what aspects of AI intrigues you the most?
Well, some background myself. I'm a Canadian, first of all. I'm a Canadian. I live in Hong Kong right now. And I used to work in many companies in North America as well as in China. I founded the company Bolts about many years ago and listed in the NASDAQ. Before that, I was the CTO of another U.S. listed company called UTStarCom, and I was also the board member of a joint venture between Panasonic and the UTStarCom to develop some 3G system. And before that, I used to work at Motorola and Nortel in Canada. I think AI is very interesting right now because, as you can see in the industry, it's getting a lot of momentum and it's so pervasive now. And you talk about ChatGPT, and then you talk about the Google, the Bard, the Gemini, and all these things. We see AI everywhere. And we're looking at the core technology right now. I think this will be very pervasive in going forward. In every industry, walk of life, you will see AI being deployed. And this motivated me to actually to do more in AI. I am actually a mathematician. I study mathematics. My graduate study is mathematics. And I find among all the computer technology, AI has the best, the most in-depth mathematics inside. It really intrigued me a lot.
We hear a lot of passion here.
But considering the wide spectrum of predictions about AI, from one side is a threat, from other side is an opportunity, what is your perspective on its future? And what opportunities and threats do you, as Pat and as Shanli, foresee for global security and global society?
I would also add impact here. What do you see as the impact on our society as well?
Let me try to answer the questions then.
In 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, that would be very difficult. Give me 2 hours. Obviously, we see AI continue to become very sophisticated, and the advancement in areas like the natural language processing, ChatGPT, computer vision, robotics, and the machine learning. These advancements will enable AI to tackle really complicated tasks, not before. Now, this is a good areas of AI. And then there are enough industry and news about what AI can do, but not too many people talk about the AI threat with respect to the, according to the UN, the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals. In fact, I highlight two areas that I think is a major threat. Now, the availability and the accessibility of AI technology can be limited to certain countries as well as certain people. The assumptions of the AI chipset, software, and services that are not available to everyone in the world. And what I call it this guy a digital divide between those who have and who don't have. This is one area of the threat. The second area of the threats is really related to the data. If you don't have data to be used for your AI system, this AI system can be biased and cause discriminations. Yep. This is really a major impact. I mean, the people who don't have the AI technology to have access to it, they will are being biased by those who have the AI technology. And our goal with the company is really to resolve these two major areas of the SDGs. It's a heavy duty answer for questions.
Yeah, I was just going to ask at it because I remember this was around 15 or 20 years ago. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, and we were at that moment in the stage of the coming introduction of internet. And he is known as the father of computer sciences. You may be knowing him, Dr. Savage from US. And he said that internet will bring equality and democracy of information worldwide. So he was a very much a proponent of it. But what scared me then is there were two things that I said to him. One is that internet will bring that you will be the have-nots, like you mentioned yourself, very big companies like the Googles or the Microsoft, and the rest will be pushed down. And secondly, the internet can also be used by authoritative governments to go into your bedroom and into everywhere to find out what you are doing to control you. And unfortunately, I think in today's world, much of those things came true. Aren't you scared that AI will also follow that similar route?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think looking at the industry right now, I mean, I share some background. I used to develop the first generation of the wireless data in the whole world when I was in Motorola. At that time, we talk about 9.6 kilobit per second. Then you go from the second generation, the third generation, now is the fifth generation. What we see, one thing is interesting is internet become pervasive, not because of wide lines, it's because of wireless. Our experience in deploying the wireless technology and the handset in Reliance in India, which really perpetuate the user in every walks of life to have internet access. And we're seeing that in Africa as well. Now, what we are seeing, the two parts of the technology. One part is the tools, and the other part is how do you use it? What we are seeing now, one thing is, as a technology company, we need to provide equitable solution for people to get the tools. Now, how do they use the tools to make other things? It's something that we cannot control. But without having them to access the tools, they're not equal themselves. They don't even have the right, the ability to use the tools to do what they want. Our ability, our goal is to provide them the tools. How do they use it? That is a bigger question, just like internet. Internet become pervasive, people can use it, but there are other people who are not using the internet right, and they to control people. And we are not those people. We're the ones providing tools.
Right. So let's talk about 3TU technology's impact. So 3TU strategy, if I understand it correct, is to make affordable AI software and ICT infrastructure, which should be available to everyone. So can you talk more about it? How do you plan to achieve this noble goal? Yep.
Noble goal, yes. It's a very interesting question. Now, first of all, we have to understand why and what are the hurdles to make it affordable and available to everyone. There are two very important aspects of it. Yes, the AI chipset and the software are not always available in some countries. Let's say, for instance, you want to build an AI solution in some countries like in China. The US government are not allowing a chip to be shipped to China to develop their own tools. Not only China, there are other countries that cannot access to those chipset. Without those chipset, you cannot develop a good AI solution. Likewise, the software is not only on the AI cloud or AI gateway. You also need the software on the edge device. How do you provide the AI device software that allows the people to make a phone or other IoT products that is can be used in for the AI? Now, these are two hurdles we have to resolve. Now, and the way we do it is based on, we call it a technological open source technology. okay, by leveraging open source technology, something called we call the RISC-V technology. RISC-V is a open source chipset technology that everyone can use. It was developed by Berkeley in 2010, and it's actually run by a nonprofit organization right now. They are a group of companies and universities are developing AI chipset based on the RISC-V technology. It's open source, no one can control it, and it's everyone's equal. Now, we are leveraging this technology chipset and software both on the cloud as well as the edge device. With that hurdle being overcome, people can have access to the technology. No one can control it anymore because everyone can access to a open source technology. Yep.
That's true. And what are the key technological innovations that 3TU Technologies has developed, and what makes you so unique?
Well, first of all, to make this the technology actually commercially viable is non-trivial. It's non-trivial. We have developed our own software and based on public domain software together with some universities in China, the Tsinghua University, the best AI and computer schools in the whole world. And we're working with them to develop AI software that can be used in the AI chipset that we work together with them. Now, you remember, our peers in the US, they have tons of engineers to develop those kind of AI software. We basically have to reinvent the wheel to do it similar, but not copying them, but because we have our own IP-based open source. How do we develop our own software with similar to our peers in the US, but still capable to support good AI platforms? And there's some technologies that are too difficult. I mean, I don't want to go into technical details, but it's just emergent. The software that we do can be used to support large language model. That is difficult. And the other technology we have developed is very interesting, is we call hybrid computing. You do AI on the device, this is a phone. You do AI on the cloud. Now we work together to coordinate the AI activity between the two areas to leverage whatever you have on the edge or in the cloud. It is another invention that we have done.
Let's become that very practical. So please share with us some concrete examples of how your technology has positively impacted people's lives. That's what at the end matters, right?
Yes, that's the matter. Technology only matters when they can be usable by people. Yeah. Now, a very simple example. You have an enterprise in Africa. A very simple question. You have a big enterprise in Africa. You want to do a call center. You have a call center to pick up the phone calls from people dialing in and to answer questions to support them. The entire call center, it can be automated by AI. You can AI to answer the question, AI to handle problems, AI to do this and doing that, okay? And AI can help you to say, hey, the customer call you, say, pay the bill, and you can do it for them all through AI. Now, the question is, how do they get those cost-effective AI platform, the hardware and the software? They can buy from expensive partners or the peers from the US or from the rest of the world, but we offer them a cost-effective solution. Because it's cost-effective, because we're leveraging open source.
How much cheaper? Is it 50% less or 70%?
Now, this is a very good question. You know, our target market is not in the Western world. You don't need us. Our market is in the Asia, Middle East, and Africa. We serve those who cannot afford those technology. This is the area that we want to focus.
But isn't there the other side that then if the AI can be the call center, then many people lose their job in Africa and in India and countries like that, which is very much dependent on call centers.
Very true.
They need
very
to true. Learn new skills, right?
Yeah, there's interesting questions. There's a lot of debate in the industry right now, whether the use of AI will replace workers or not. I personally don't think so. Because people say internet can replace a lot of things. But no, AI create a lot of new industry. We call it the B2B2C and all these things, online to offline, offline to online. It create a new paradigms of industry that no one had thought about before. Now, what it is, we don't know yet, be honest with you. No one knows because the age is coming and we will see soon. But I do believe just like internet, it actually create more jobs.
Yep, that's true.
And continue with the impact. So what global societal impact do you anticipate? We don't know, but what do you anticipate at least your technologies would be having in terms of digital equality and improving lives?
A very good question. Now, I see people in the Western world can use ChatGPT, all this AI technology. I see the people who cannot afford it, who cannot access it in a lot of places in the world. They're stuck. They just cannot even use ChatGPT because it's not open to them. One, it's not accessible to them because being stopped by the company. Two, it's too expensive. You have to pay to use ChatGPT. Okay? It's not free. But our technology allows them to build their own AI model in the countries. They can have their own African ChatGPT. And the content is based on the African content, not the Western world content. And it's not biased anymore. But that is equality to people who really need it locally and not biased by another world. This is what we're trying to do.
But is it free then or not? Continue on the pricing topic.
That's a very good question. Now, there's always a cost factor in actually maintaining the solution. And the question is, now you look at ChatGPT right now, you have to pay ChatGPT every month to get the good services. But what we're promoting to them is we give them the platform. They build their own ChatGPT themselves. The African country, they build themselves. We are not charging them for what they're building because they own proprietary information, the model, they own them. We don't own them. We're basically providing the tools. They use the tools to build their house. And we charge them the tools, the hammer, once. And the house belongs to them. We're not ready. We're not building a hotel for them. They use their own hotel.
Exactly. And let's talk about your business model. So in what market are you currently present and who are your clients?
Good question. Now, because we have a lot of R&D people in China and some myself, we are in this part of the region. Our first market is definitely in China, Greater China. Okay. Because as you can also aware that there are some technology that's not available, AI technology that are not available in China. And therefore, we see this is a huge market already. It's the first market we want to go into. And the second market we want to go to is actually Middle East as well as the Africa. Now, back to what kind of business we want to do. Very simple. Back to our example, call center. There are many companies in China or in the world. They need to build a very simple call center. I'm sure you've tried to use many call centers before, and they're quite dumb. You always say, press two to do this. Then you say, I want to do something different. Then you say, go back to press zero to talk to some operator. But no one listens to you when you press zero. But with AI, it can be more versatile. If people can really understand, the system really can understand what you want and to be more creative and proactive to do what you need. And this is AI, the first great thing in AI. It's basically, first thing, call center. Huge business already.
And what strategies does 3TU have in place to secure market share?
Now, we are in actually a very good business right now in here. I mean, I among all my industry experience in doing business, this is interesting. There's always demand and supply, right? There's a strong demand for AI system in China to do all this call center, computer vision, all these things. It's a strong demand for it. Now, the supply is limited. There are very few companies in the world that can supply this kind of AI solutions to the customers. People come to us for this kind of technology. Not only for us, but you look at even AI for the Western world. In the AI in the Western world, you're only about, you can count in five fingers who are the technology companies that can provide AI system in the Western society. Likewise in China, it's the same. Even in Africa and Middle East, you can just count. So we definitely, our task is really to provide a good support system to answer them, support them to build their own solution. We have to remember, AI is a lot of times not just a hammer. AI is a customized hammer for them that we need. This is what we're trying to do.
I have a question for Shen. Maybe Shen, you can shed the light on how 3TU Technologies has been previously funded, and are you looking for more funds right now? As being working for banks also for so many years, I guess it's your part of the cake in the company?
Yeah, this initially is founded by myself. I invested in the Finnish company, you know, from spin-off from Nokia almost 10 years ago. So that's, I started the journey there. And when I set up an operation in Hong Kong and China, including Beijing, I also put in my own money. And then I have so-called angel investors, the leading investors from Hong Kong. Actually, interestingly, my first angel investor is the former chief executive of Hong Kong after his handover back to China. He's a very successful businessman before became the first chief executive of Hong Kong. But he invested in two criteria. One, of course, has to commercially make sense. Secondly, actually, is impact investing. He wants, because he was the chief executive, he wants to invest in companies which can bring social good to Hong Kong and to place beyond Hong Kong. So he found our purpose and our technology fits perfectly with his investment philosophy. So he invests in our company. He's our first angel investor, and his son, he also a leading businessman, used to be run one of the largest shipping company in the world. Now he's on our board. So we already finished the angel round. Now we are in the A round. We want to raise more money, but it was more importantly, I want to use the money as a linkage to find the partners or strategic investors who can work with us towards those goal of impact investing.
Chan, but how much are you raising right now?
I think we can, you know, minimum like 10 million US to 20 million US.
10 to
100.
Okay. 100
or 20?
20. Yeah, for this round.
Okay, I was too ambitious as you.
Yeah. USR or Euro, yeah, or Swiss franc.
Yeah, nowadays everything is same. And what task or challenge do you aim to address through this new investment?
I think Ben means what is the use of the money? So where are you going to allocate it? More marketing or developing more your product technologies? So what? How the money will be used?
I have to say is technologies. AI technology is changing, evolving, advancing every day. Our biggest task is to use the new AI technology, modify it so that it becomes open source, no strings attached, and then make it as a product to serve those who need it. Now, to learn the latest technology, to modify them to become like open source and be no string attached, these two parts are the biggest investment that we need to do going forward. And this is basically AI software developers.
Okay. Right. And who else can support you beside investors? I mean, strategic investors, as Shen said, but are you looking for some other kind of support, partnerships, or maybe you have social media where everyone can like you or whatever you need, guys? What kind of support do you need?
A new market penetration.
Absolutely. Ben, you're absolutely correct. We need other than money, and it's always good, but we need actually partners to serve, to help us out in the technologies. Now, because this technology is so big, it's always good to have technology. We are working closely with the universities in China, as well as some industry partners. There are so many good companies in the world that as long as they share our visions to reduce inequality, we would love to work with them and just work with the area they are in, and then we can learn from them.
Where do you see the future in 10 years? Like, how do you think AI will evolve? I'm very curious to know about it.
I'm thinking 10 years from now, you and I are not talking to a real person. You're talking to a you call it digital twin. You're talking to my digital. And that would
just
be
to your hologram
technology.
I would be talking to your hologram. That's it.
This is what we call digital twins. Okay, this is what we are thinking. But it's happened. Technology is getting there. But within 10 years from now, a lot of the areas will be using our technology to serve those needed. It's still a long way to go. It's not. Look at internet. It takes so many years for pervasive.
And who would be your ideal partners? Would it be the governments, the big businesses, the normal citizens, small businesses? Who will be your ideal clients or partners?
I think the most important one is actually the one that actually can use our technologies to serve the needs. Now, we have limited access to who need these technologies. We know in this region quite well, but we in the Africa, in the Middle East, and those are the companies that can actually bring us to talk to those people who need. Of course, finance is important because other people those over there need financing as well to buy some of the basic equipment. But together we work together to serve them, to serve the customer. This is what we need.
Hmm. But can you please share any call to action message for our global audience?
Absolutely. Join us in the fight against digital inequality caused by AI. Let's work together towards a future where AI benefits everyone, regardless of their background or socio-economical status.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you very much.
What your call to action would be, Shen?
I think that fundamentally, we need new technology and make it accessible by ordinary people to make AI as a tool, a most powerful tool, reduce inequality rather than to increase it. So with that in mind, so when we develop our products, we'll think about on the one hand to leverage the power of big data, cloud, AI. On the other hand, to make the device is very accessible, or device and service very accessible to ordinary people at a very low, even zero cost if possible. So I think this is a quite a noble cause. So I really welcome investors can share our vision and to support us and to realize our dream together.
Thanks.
Sounds amazing. Great. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us today. I'm looking forward to connecting with you in 10 years for sure, but hopefully earlier, so we can still talk in person.
Yep.
And I think AI never will have a heart like humans do, even though it can support us a lot. So thank you very much, guys, and we see you soon. Dear viewers, with this, we finish the 10th episode of Season 7.
And wait for our next episode. And thank you very much for watching us.
Will it be the Christmas episode, by the way? Next one in New Year? It will be a surprise. So stay tuned and bye for now.
Bye for now.
Hey, we hope you have been inspired by the remarkable stories that shape impact investing worldwide.
Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Contact us if you want to support our guests or be the next TV show guest yourself.
Join the awesome Impact community and invite your friends to do the same.
You can find us on TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, podcast, anywhere in your favorite social media.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember,
together we create a truly sustainable future.